Hello.
Forgot about that. I always forget about that. Hello, and welcome to the Life in Times of Fear, the podcast. I'm your host, Paige, and with me are my partners in crime, Steph and Georgia. Hi, Steph.
Hey.
Hey.
Wait, that was Georgia. Welcome back, Georgia.
Yeah, sorry.
Thanks.
On today's show, well, this is going to be one chock full of stories. We count ourselves as the luckiest fan base in the world because our favorite twosome joins us for podcasts. So without further ado, here are Sharon Wyatt and John Riley. Hi, guys.
Hi.
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 Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi, this is John
Riley. This is Sharon. I've got laryngitis, so I'm a little scratchy tonight. At
Sharon,
least I couldn't
how
talk
are
at
you?
All. Hi, John, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm good.
Me too. I miss you. Where
I
are
miss you too.
Yeah, come visit.
I'm good.
That's good.
How are you doing?
How
are you doing?
I'm doing great. Except I have laryngitis.
Yeah. Great.
Except for the laryngitis. That was my first question. I wanted to ask you both and find out how you're doing because people are always asking, how is Sharon and how is John? So why don't you guys say for yourselves?
Well, Sharon's wonderful. You know.
Of course. I'm getting another comment. We'll just ignore that.
She's special.
Well, John, and she has laryngitis.
I
have laryngitis.
Talk when she has laryngitis. That's what the doctor said that I talked so much that my vocal cords were red. I said, well, I've been trying to talk. It's very weird to try to say laryngitis, you know, when you open your mouth and nothing comes out.
Nothing comes out?
Thing. This is going on for like 2 weeks.
Really?
I'm talking very well now. I'm at least talking.
Oh,
you
okay.
Sound great.
Oh, thank
sound
you.
Very,
that's good.
Sound great.
That's good. I'm trying very hard.
Well, I'm sorry
okay.
that your voice isn't there, huh?
Well, I think of it as sexy. Well, think of it as a scratchy sexy.
Well, I think
very
well,
sexy.
Yeah, you do have a sexy voice, Sharon.
Well, thank you, honey.
Oh, yes, you do.
Okay.
Makes me very happy when I was working with you all the time.
I know. We had such fun, John.
Absolutely.
And it made us happy, too.
Well,
yeah,
John,
very
it was
happy.
Such a joy. We had the best time, John and I. We knew how to finish each other's sentences. And it was the easiest thing to memorize lines because we didn't know the lines basically when we got there. We just sat down and we'll go over them like 3 or 4 times and have them down because it was so easy with John because I know how he's going to react to a certain sentence. And when I work with somebody else, I don't necessarily know how they're going to react. But with John, I know exactly how he's going to say it, his cadence and everything. So it helps a lot.
Well,
isn't that right?
Well,
it was a joy. It's a joy for me. Working with you.
And for us. It was a joy for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you all enjoyed. We had fun.
It was fun.
Okay.
Maybe again.
I'm going to ask John this story because since the very, very first time I talked with John and his lovely wife Liz on the phone, she told me I'd have to ask John about roller skating with Mick Jagger. And that was a year and a half ago. So now I want to hear this story.
Oh, that was Mick Jagger. Yeah, he was a wonderful, wonderful man, actually. And he wanted to. He asked me if I was could roller skate. So I said, "Yeah, I can." So. He said, well, I'd like to try that. And so I said, okay, fine. And I said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. You take my belt and you hold that, and I'll start skating. And you keep... you keep my belt real slow. And we'll do fine. We'll do fine. And he said, you know, John, that's fun. I mean, I thought, you know. So I took him all the way around the lamp, the whole thing. And he said, how am I doing? I said, well, you know, Mick, you're doing fine. You're really doing fine, you know.
He said, did you fall?
No. He said, am I going to fall? I said, no. Mick, no. If you fall, the British Army will be looking for me. And so he started to laugh about that. He's the funniest guy I've ever spoke with. He's a hell of a man. And
I have a question.
Yes.
Before he asked you if you could roller skate, how did you actually meet him?
Well, he was here in the United States. And my agent, John Crosby was my agent, mm-hmm. and he is a Mick's agent in England. So, I used to talk to his agent, you know, and Mick and I we wouldn't give them what they think we were going to say.
So y'all met through John then.
Yeah, right.
I know John very well. John Crosby.
John Crosby, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That must have been great to meet Mick Jagger, John. I mean, that's great.
Oh, that was really, Mick, though, was such a, what a wonderful guy.
Oh, he's so great.
He really was. He was a wonderful man. He had a great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I'm not going to fall. I said, I'll tell you, if you fall, you know,
so you didn't
all of
cry.
The English guys
and
will be going looking for me, huh?
Yeah, an international incident that would have been.
Absolutely. But he was so cool though. He was such
That's
a nice.
That's very
guy.
Cool.
Yeah,
he sounds like he is.
Yeah, he was a great.
Speaking of Mickey's, now, when Sharon was on General Hospital, you got to work with Milton Berle, who played your agent, Mickey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's true. That's right.
He was great. I mean, he was like, I loved him. And he still remembered me when we saw each other, you know, like Asparagus or something.
Uh-huh.
And he said that you can't teach somebody how to do comedy. You either have it or you don't. It's all in the timing, and you cannot be taught. And I believe that because I know a lot of people that try to be funny, and it just comes off dead. You know, they don't have the timing. And I know people that are not actors that have the most wonderful timing, and they're hilariously funny, you know, would be great actors. So many people want to be actors, and they could be I guess in their daily lives.
So Milton Berle
enjoy that.
I mean, Milton Berle was the funniest man.
I know.
I do. I mean, I loved working with him. I loved just even talking to him.
I know. He had these huge cue cards that he would use.
Oh yeah. Right.
It was so funny. He told me, "This is I'm bragging on myself, and I hate to do that, but I'll do it anyway." He said that I made him look good, which that made me feel good because I was so scared, you know, and nervous working with him. But he said because he was using the cue cards, and of course I pick up the pace, you know, my mouth's always going.
Right.
So he would say something, reading the cue cards, not looking at me, of course, and then I would just barrel in and, you know, and just throw them before the next cue card could come.
Well, he took his stuff and put it on my chest. All his dialogue is on my chest.
That's hilariously funny.
And then
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he put it all on my chest.
Acting trick.
He said, you're okay with this? I said, sure. Absolutely.
Oh, he's a character, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a wonderful man. God bless.
Speaking of comedy and very, very funny people, John also has a story about Lucille Ball on a plane.
Oh, yeah, Lucille. Oh, God, she was wonderful. God love her.
I loved her.
I loved her. I mean, she was having, she said, John. I said, yes, what do you need? She said, we're going to have some champagne, darling. I said, oh, okay.
She sounds like me, champagne and darling.
Right, and she, you know, she said, you just keep taking it, John. That's okay. And she said, you know, I'll tell you. He said that the wonderful person of all Hollywood, the male guy in Hollywood. And I said, well, who's that? She said, it's Clint, the man.
Oh.
I said, oh, yeah, well, you're right. I said, he's very, very nice. He's a very, very nice man. He helped me on Warner Brothers. I was trying to find an office, and he came out of his office. He said, are you okay? I said, well, no, I'm not okay. I'm looking for this office. He said, oh, that damn thing. And no one finds that thing. Even I can't find it. So he said, well, you go up there, and then when you come back down. And I said, I said, I found the place, Clint. He said, well, that's good. He said, what are you doing now? I said, well, I'm going to go down. Well, come back to my place, my office, and we'll have a beer.
Oh, that was nice. That was nice. I met him at a party over at Arnold Schwarzenegger's and Maria's, and he sat down next to me. He's so soft-spoken, very intense, though, in a calm, soft way, intensity.
He's a good man, though.
He listens to everything. He says, you're like the most important person at that time. He's so into you at the time, so just intent on talking. It has nothing to do with male, female. It just was person to person, you know.
He is
one of my best friends. We stayed in for a long time.
He sat me down in his office, and we talked for 2.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
It was wonderful. I mean, it was just...
Well, I liked Frank Sinatra. He was my man. I was working at Pips. I was selling cigarettes. And I was selling cigarettes, and so he smoked Camel Unfiltered, which, of course, I knew. And I walked back there, and he had all these bodyguards around him. And you could see his blue eyes literally bounced off the wall. They were so blue. And I went over and gave the cigarette to one of his bodyguards. And Frank says, no, I want Sharon to hand them to me. Well, I was so impressed. He knew my name. I couldn't believe it. And he gave me
$20. Well, that was Frank, you know.
I know. I kept the $20. Well, you know, some people will give me $100, but he gave me $20, which is okay. We had a lot of Abduls in there, a lot of people from Abduls. Also, at the same place where I was working, I was the backgammon lady before I sold cigarettes. Cigarettes was much more lucrative. Anyway, and there was Lucy. She was sitting there She loved backgammon. She played it just about every night, and she'd play until the place closed. And she had a voice about as low as mine is right now. Hello, honey, how you doing? Yeah. You know, she'd get very low. And I had a picture. Pip had a monthly little brochure or magazine with pictures of everybody and everything. Well, I had a picture with Shelley Winters on the cover. It was Shelley and me. Then there was Lucy on the cover. We were both on the front cover. And I went over to her and I says, we're both on the cover. I said, would you mind signing this for me? And she says, dear Sharon, love Lucy. I thought it was the greatest. I loved her so much. When she died.
No, she's a wonderful woman.
I just sat on a plane with her
for 5 hours, and we're having champagne.
Oh, that was great. You got her on a plane, John. That was great.
Oh, yeah.
She was trying to get you drunk, John.
Well, of course.
Lucy. She liked the drink.
Yeah,
I don't mean in that kind of way, but she enjoyed it.
No, but she liked her champagne, and it was okay. And she said, do you mind? I said, no, I don't mind.
I know. What are you going to say to Lucy?
Yeah.
But when she died, I cried so hard. I mean, just sobbed for like an hour, maybe. I called up the hair people. I talked to Donna Messina, and I said, did Lucy really die? And she says, yes. And I'm sobbing, so I hang up. She calls me back 30 minutes later. She says, Sharon, what is wrong with you? I said, Lucy died. I just cried and cried and cried because it was like, she was just like somebody that I was, you know, when you see somebody like that all the time, you think you know them. You know, it was like when I first saw her, I just stared at her. Just stared at her, and I was just so upset. Of course, I get a little sentimental at times. Or I wouldn't have cried like that.
I mean, she was so...
I did the same thing with Ricky Nelson. That would kill me. It'd kill me.
She was wonderful. I had 6 hours with her in an airplane, and I thought,
oh, wow.
My God, this is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. How drunk were you when you landed?
What?
How drunk were you when you landed?
Oh, I didn't
remember.
Off of the plane. I was a little drunk. And she was drunk with me.
If it's good champagne, then it's fine.
Huh?
I said, if it's good champagne, it's fine.
It was good champagne. Well, it was, you know, she said, this is it, John.
A lot of the stewardesses used to give me champagne because they knew that Tiffany liked to drink it so much. So they'd give me a bottle of champagne when I'd leave the plane.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good deal, Sharon.
I know. It was nice of them. Very nice of them.
Uh-oh.
Okay,
so how are you
anyway,
doing?
Weren't they, John?
Yes,
those were the days. And now here I sit in Crossville, Tennessee.
Crossville, Tennessee,
just trying to stay away from the snow. We made the national news twice last week. I mean, Crossville did, because of our snow situation. And the trees falling. I had trees all over the house. Two trees blew down slowly. And another tree that was hanging over my bedroom, and I was so afraid it was going to fall through the roof. Well, my neighbors did. Two doors down, had an entire tree that fell smack dab into her house. Smashed through the room.
Oh, really?
Into the room, yeah.
Into the room?
Pretty gnarly. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's been rough. But... I had to drive in it. I had to drive to Nashville. And it was like, you'd think that the interstates would be better. You know, like, they would clear them. Well, they hadn't cleared them. And it was just ice and snow. And, it was just dreadful. It took, like, I don't know, 3 hours to get someplace. It should have taken 45 minutes because we were driving like 30 miles an hour, just sliding all over the place. Yeah, it was. I go get my mail in my car.
Honey. God.
I know, but I survived it.
Chicago got hit, too. Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, it's been dreadful, this whole At least I wasn't in Boston, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you could be in Florida.
That'd be nice, wouldn't
it? Oh, rub it in.
I got a friend that called me from Florida and said, you know, every time the weather gets bad, just calls and laughs, you know.
Hey, Sharon, I was in Nashville at Christmas time. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous at Christmas time. I was there at Christmas time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really nice. We got stuck on the freeway. They can have that. We got stuck on the freeway. So they can have that. But we went the back way. We run the back road, so that was pretty cool. In other places. So I need some good places. I need some good places to go, though. So you need to tell me when I go back in the summertime where to go.
Well, no one got hurt.
Bright place.
No one got hurt, did they? No.
There was a guy that froze to death. I couldn't believe it. He was in his house. He had no heat, and he froze. I had no heat for like 4 days. It was like 35 degrees in this house. And I didn't have, the phone was out. The electricity was out. My cell phone was out. You couldn't get any reception. So I just picked my dog Willie up and went over to my cousins and said, here, I'm here. Stay for 4 days. Thank goodness they had electricity. I don't know how they had electricity, since nobody else did.
Wow.
I mean, nobody that I know had it.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. But it's over now. It's beautiful. It was like 60 degrees today. It was nice.
Was
it? I think we're finally going to get to spring now.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
My buttercups are coming up right now.
Oh, good, honey. That's
great. I love buttercups. I love buttercups. Iris, which is a Tennessee flower, and buttercups.
Oh, there you go.
I know. Just
that's my girl.
So good.
That's my girl.
I know. Well, I love flowers. You know that, John. I love flowers.
Well, I love you, too.
I love you even more.
Yeah.
I mean, we had every day together for so long.
Oh, yeah.
It was so much fun. Every day.
Oh, God.
Well, we were just speaking of driving, and I know John has a funny driving story, too. Something about Perry Como?
Oh, yeah, Perry. Yeah, Como. Yeah, I was in Notre Dame. I was looking at Notre Dame and if I could afford to get into that college, And Perry Como had problems with his car, and I had a car. And so I found him, and I said, sir, he said, don't call me sir. I said, who do I call you? I said, you're Perry Como, aren't you? He said, yes, I am. I said, oh, well, my mother sings all of your songs.
And ever the polite gentleman that you are, John, of course you will call somebody sir and ma'am.
Oh, yeah. And he said, well, you know, he said, that's okay. And you went and got me gas and everything else. And I said, well, I said, you know, you're Perry Como. So,
I know, he was great. I never got to see him, you know.
Oh, he was wonderful.
That would have been great.
He was a wonderful man. He was wonderful. And he said, well, he said, you don't go to the school yet. And I said, no, I don't. And he said, well, one of my sons goes there. And he said, I got five tickets for the game today. You're getting two of them. What? And he said, no, we can do that. And he said, I got one of my kids in that college, so I went to the game with him.
Oh, that was wonderful, John.
His son and me. I said to him, you want to sing anything? Oh, yeah, John.
Just right out in the song.
I just laughed and laughed. He was a wonderful man. The beautiful singer. So it was one of the, and you know,
John, you've met so many people over the years.
I got Mick Jagger on roller skates.
Mm-hmm.
And I got Perry Como. So
and Phil Ball.
Now, how does one go about noticing that it's Mr. Como whose car is broken down? Were you just stop it? Were you just being a good Samaritan in general?
Well, no, he was having problems with his car.
But how did you know it was him? Were you just stopping?
Well, I looked at him, you know, and that's Perry Como.
Oh.
Oh, Perry Como, my God. And he was so nice, and so I got gasoline for him and everything else. He said, you don't have to do that. And that's he took me to the game.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
And his seats were a lot better, weren't they?
Oh, they were wonderful seats, yeah. he was a very nice man. Yeah, he was a very, very nice man. It's like Mick Jagger is a great guy too.
You know, speaking of football, John, you know what a big Peyton Manning fan I am. Well, this will be his last year probably, and my cousin and I have decided to go to Denver to watch him play. You want to go?
Who?
Peyton Manning.
Oh, Peyton Manning. Oh, God,
Peyton
yeah.
Manning, yeah, that plays for the Denver Broncos. We can meet in Denver and go to the game. That'd be
okay,
fun.
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you know. I'll get you some tickets.
Oh, yeah, that'd be.
Because I'm a little crazy at ball games, so you'll have to pretend you don't know me.
Why? Well, he likes women.
He's a great guy. He's just,
yeah,
I saw him
guy.
In his first game at UCLA, we were playing UCLA, and we lost the senior quarterback, who's the main quarterback, and the running back in the first four plays, both of them. So we had three freshman quarterbacks that were backups. So
wow.
All three got to play, and Peyton was the best, and that was Peyton's career from then on. He got to play all 4 years, you know.
Wow.
It was great. But that's the only time I've seen him play. I can't believe I didn't go see him play. When he played the Titans.
Oh, yeah, he was a wonderful player.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to win the Super Bowl so badly.
Yeah.
So badly.
I've seen him play against the Gators.
Yeah,
I'm a Gator fan, see?
Uh-oh. I don't know
Uh-oh.
How to talk to you anymore.
It's all right.
You don't know who to stand for. Hey,
don't look at me. My Manning has won two Super Bowls, so I'm Eli Manning, so my Manning has won two Super Bowls.
Yes, he has.
But I'm a racing fan, so I like racing. So as long as you go for Dell Jr., I'm happy.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Oh,
there you go.
So we wanted
well, I'm a
to.
Bear
well,
fan.
I wanted to rest Sharon's voice, but I do have another question for her. But I have one for John. So who wants to go first?
Ladies first.
Sharon. One of everybody's favorite roles of yours that is not General Hospital is In the Heat of the Night when you were
Jeffrey Harris. Oh, I love
that. And
yeah.
So we wanted to ask you about Carol O'Connor, who was on All in the Family all those years, and then In the Heat of the Night, and ask you about your experience there.
It was wonderful. Carol O'Connor was absolutely one of the most wonderful people I've ever seen. He was so giving and so loving as an actor. You know, and of course he produced the show also. It was his show. And Harold Rollins was on it. They were both great, played off each other really well. But he was like, talked about the comedy that I was throwing in between, you know, between scenes, And I was talking to him, and I throw stuff out, and he said, "You're really funny. We should put you and Bubba
come
together." And I said, "Well, that sounds good to me." And then after he talked about that, I totally changed my character from being straight to being funny. And I thought, what am I doing? I couldn't believe that I changed my character in mid-show. Because then I started, you know, very dryly saying these things, very dryly.
Oh, that's great.
But it was wonderful working with him. He's wonderful. It was a great experience. It took us 2 weeks to film it. We went to Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, great.
No, that was Rosa for the Ritz. I'm sorry. This was in Georgia that we shot this. Rosa for the Ritz went to Alabama, and it snowed for the first time in 50 years. I got snow on my brain. No, but it was a wonderful experience. It took 2 weeks to film over Thanksgiving, and they flew everybody back to L.A., but they flew me to Tennessee, of course, for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I just had a great time. Met some wonderful people on there that I'm still friends with.
Oh, good, honey.
Yeah, it was a great experience.
That last scene between you and him is so awesome. It's so charged, you know. It's like the best thing in the show.
Oh, good.
Which one is that?
When he's talking about that I'm going to go to prison for a long time, and I said, I want a deal, you know,
okay.
And if you could spend a long time in prison, and I put my head up, and I am stroking my chin as though my chin is going to fall before I get out of prison, and I want to still get out of prison while I still look good. So that was a little thing that I was doing to tell him I would take a deal.
Oh, good.
But it was fun doing it.
It was so much fun.
Did you have a good time?
Oh, I had a great time.
Did you?
Of course I did.
Good.
I have a good time doing whatever I'm doing. You know that, John.
Oh, no, honey.
Very easy to please.
I know. You're easy to please.
That's true.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That is very true. Yeah.
Okay, now we'll do John's and then we'll wrap up. Because this went so fast. Oh, my goodness. Okay, John. I know you were with Christopher Reeve when the Superman thing started, and he didn't know if he wanted to do the movie Superman.
Oh yeah,
he told me this.
He said we were auditioning for something, both of us, and he said, you know, John, I mean, they want me to do Superman. I said, well, Chris, that's terrific. He said, no, it's going to my whole career. I said, Chris, listen, if you be Superman, you're going to be a very, very wealthy man.
Mm-hmm. That's a big star.
He's a rich man. He's going to be a rich man.
Rich man. And he said, John, are you sure about this? I said, Chris, come on.
You know, he just done a play with Katharine Hepburn on Broadway, so he was
headed
in that direction. He came up with Love and Life, which is a soap.
Broadway with her, too. He was wonderful. I liked him. I liked him a lot. And then...
Well, I'm going to give a plug for his foundation here. It's called the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. And I saw presentation where they talk about there were four men who were completely paralyzed and with the epidural stimulation developed at the Reeve Foundation, they're walking and they're doing things again. And skiing.
Oh, great. Isn't that wonderful?
It's an amazing
thing.
It's a wonderful organization. If anybody wants to read up on it or donate, it's www.reevebigidea.org, and I'll put some links up at John and Sharon's social media. So that
John,
that is
such
great.
A wonderful cause. It really is.
That'd be great.
I'm glad you told me that.
So just to wrap up with some business, to keep up with us on social media, there's the Fans of Sharon Wyatt page at Facebook and also the Fans of John H. Riley page there. On Twitter, our handle is SharonWyatt411, and we share information and photos and links there all the time. I want to thank our special guests, Sharon and John, so much. Thanks for coming on and sharing your stories. Wonderful, wonderful stories.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having us, Paige. It's good to talk with you.
Well, yeah,
we love talking with you. This is, you know, I said earlier, we're the luckiest fan base in the world because we podcast with our favorite people.
No.
And, you know, Jeff and Georgia and myself, we're just thrilled, right? Ladies?
Anytime you want to talk to us, we'll talk.
Yeah, I used to give me a call sometime.
Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And I'll make sure this podcast goes up at YouTube as well. And good night, everybody. And good night, John. Good night, Sharon. Good night, Steph.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Love
to you.
Love you.
Love you, too. Thank you.
Love you. Love
Stay warm.
I'm very, very blessed with all the females in my life. It's
well, that's all you, John.
Oh, well.
Thank you guys brought Paige into my life, so I got to thank you for that. So.
Okay.
Aww.
You be good, all right? Thank you for everything.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. I'm going to hang up now.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Kiss, kiss.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.